You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and co-host Todd LeDuc, episode 41.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Welcome to the LifeScan Wellness Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast. And this is your host, Dr. Donnie, or actually I should say co-host Dr. Donnie, and with Chief Strategy Officer Todd LeDuc of LifeScan Wellness. And Todd, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests this morning?
Absolutely. Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate another episode together on our podcast. And I'm just thrilled to have not only a colleague that I've known a long time, but a great friend, friend of myself, friend of the fire service, Chief Brian Frieders, recently retired. So Brian, welcome. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us. And I guess we'll start if for anyone that doesn't know you, which I can't imagine there's many. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your journey in the fire service, and I know we're going to jump in and talk about your work with the Firefighter Cancer Support Network as well, but just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today and the transition you're in.
Sure, Todd. Donnie, thank you for having me today. What a pleasure it is to be with both of you, though. You know, I really appreciate things like this and these conversations with fire service leaders that are really doing some great work. And you know, both of you are really doing some fantastic work with firefighters across the country, you know, not only with health and wellness, but behavioral wellness and, you know, the work-life balance situation. You know, that's really a big deal. And, you know, I can tell you right now from firsthand experience that I'm dealing with that because I went from 200 miles an hour as the fire chief in Pasadena, California to zero overnight. So there's some challenges that come with that. And, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into that during this conversation. But like Todd said, my name is Brian Frieders. I am a recently retired fire chief from the city of Pasadena, California, a fantastic fire department with just outstanding members that do great work. It was hard to leave that because of the caliber of people that were in that organization and the city itself, where we do things like the Rose Parade, we have the Rose Bowl, and just so many great opportunities with just a well-governed, a well-managed, and a just fantastic group of individuals. I spent 31 years in the fire service and EMS. I started off when I was 19 as a paramedic back in Glendale. And just kind of worked my way up through a couple of the fire departments and then ended up out of Pasadena just in December was my last day. So I've had a great career. I look back on my career with just incredibly grateful eyes. I've been given opportunities to do things that I never expected to do. I've worked with some incredible people that I to this day call great friends, you know, some of whom are on this call. And, you know, it's just really a pleasure in the fire service. We talk a lot about what the fire service is. And for me, the best way to describe it is, you know, we see the triumph and tragedy in life. And we get a chance to really intervene and make a significant difference in the outcome of someone's path. And, you know, I don't know how you define satisfaction, but to me, the true definition of satisfaction is being able to do something good for somebody else. And for me, I spent 31 years being able to do that. So I'm incredibly grateful for the career I've had, not only as the fire chief in Pasadena, but the other agencies I worked for, but also as the president of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. You know, one in three of us gets cancer and that number is going up. And I think it's important for us to really figure out how we can best deal with that by virtue of safe practices, health screenings, really managing your health more so than just, you know, hoping it doesn't happen to you. So as the president of the organization, it's the Firefighter Cancer Support Network is 350 members strong across the U.S. and Canada. And now we're getting into Germany and other European countries. We provide support essentially to firefighters that get diagnosed with cancer. We don't offer financial support or medical advice or anything like that. But what we do have is firefighters in our database that have been survivors of cancer that we will pair you up with to help you through your journey and help you navigate that journey a little more comfortably than you would have if you were trying to do it on your own. So you talk about legacy and you know, being a part of something great. The Firefighter Cancer Support Network is the second part of my career that I just am so incredibly grateful for and so proud of, just because of the fantastic work that's been done across this country and in Canada.
Brian, that's certainly quite a legacy, and I know you're not done writing the final chapter in retirement as you continue to give back to the fire service, and probably I would think one of the more meaningful and rewarding ways, which is helping our brother and sister firefighters. Oftentimes it's some of the darkest moments that they have to deal with in their service. So thank you. Thanks for your long service, and thanks for continuing the work that you're doing. And like you, I started in my teens. So we're both recently retired, and it's interesting, kind of our roles now are intersecting. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because as you know, I retired in 2019 after 30 years as assistant chief with Broward County, Florida, and enjoying LifeScan wellness centers. I think this year we're on track to do 50,000 annual firefighter and law enforcement officer physicals across the country. We're in 25 states. We haven't quite made it to Germany, but I always keep the door open. But one of the rewarding parts of the work I'm doing now in that we do at LifeScan, but also a little bit of trepidation, is the amount of cancers that we find in the fire service. And LifeScan's a pretty comprehensive 3-hour exam that includes ultrasound imaging. And I hear from folks all the time that no one wants to hear the words cancer, and I've never had cancer, but I can only imagine when you have that diagnosis, it's going to really shatter your world. And I know many of the firefighters that we've identified cancer in, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network and the work that you all do has been a godsend. It really helps navigate that very, very difficult journey, which I can only imagine will be so much more difficult without the support and the network that you've built. So I kind of want you to take a little bit of time for our audience. And maybe if you can do a little bit deeper dive on the resources and the network that you've amassed and how long that's been there, where it is today. And I'm sure it's evolved, and where you see it, 5 years from now, as we continue to make inroads in this battle against cancer in the fire service. So why don't you just spend a little time talking for us on our audience members, and hopefully, God forbid, anyone that is listening doesn't have to utilize these resources, but we all know a brother or sister firefighter, if we don't, we likely will, that will battle cancer. So it's important to know what's out there to help when you get that news. So Brian, take us through that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, if anybody's listening to this podcast or this conversation, I really hope you understand that you are not alone if you're diagnosed with cancer. And that's the key, really. You know, the fire service is an interesting group of people. You know, we are not in the business of wanting help, but we're in the business of providing help. And that's a very difficult thing for us to understand, is when our time comes that we need help, we're reluctant to even think about asking. Oh, I'll handle it myself. You know, we've got this invincible syndrome that we just think that we're going to be fine. We'll handle it. I mean, heck, we run into burning buildings, for crying out loud. We save kids from, wells. We do water rescues. We do all sorts of high angle stuff. We're technically trained. We know everything. But when it comes right down to it, we're the last ones that want to admit that we need help. And that's a real problem. And I think that we've overcome a lot of those barriers over the years. I think the fact that we've been able to educate firefighters across the country on not just cancer, but other issues, behavioral issues, physical ailments that we encounter, especially after a long career, orthopedic injuries, all that kind of stuff. So I think that we are starting to embrace the fact that we're not invincible and that we are going to need help. And the Firefighter Cancer Support Network is the resource that you can turn to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you get diagnosed. And really what we do, you know, and let me just sort of explain what the how the organization evolved, and it'll answer your question, Todd, about what we're doing now as compared to where we were 16 years ago when the organization started. So just a little history. Mike Dubron, who was a firefighter paramedic with the LA County Fire Department at 39 years old, got diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And you can only imagine how devastating that diagnosis is. So he went home and told his wife and his 12 and 10 year old daughters that this would probably be the last Christmas that they were going to have together, that daddy probably wasn't going to survive because he's got cancer. And just all the other things that go with that notification and that diagnosis, they're just devastating in every context of devastating you can imagine. And at 39 years old, you know, you're not supposed to have stage 4 cancer at 39 years old. That's not supposed to happen. And so what, you know, when Mike was getting his treatments, you know, it turns out that his cancer was a little less vile than the way it ended up being stage 3, I think. But you know, throughout the course of his treatment, often he was referred to these self-help groups or these, support groups to kind of talk through your issues. And, you know, firefighters are not going to talk to the general public about their issues. Firefighters want to talk to firefighters. Police officers, you know, they talk to other law enforcement people. We're a different breed of individual, and we are comfortable having conversations with each other, but we're not comfortable having conversations outside of our little world. And so Mike said, maybe there's some people on my job, they have 3,000 members that has gone through this, and, you know, kind of did an informal poll and found out there were 76 people in his organization at that time that had either dealt with cancer or were dealing with cancer. And so he reached out to a couple of them and said, hey, I got colon cancer, what do I do? And, you know, got paired up with a couple of his colleagues at the LA County Fire Department, and they helped walk him through what to expect, what questions to ask his doctor, what he needs to do during the course of treatment, how he should expect to feel, some of the things that they went through and shared their experiences so he understood what he could avoid, the pitfalls, but more importantly, how to, you know, have some good things happen during the course of that treatment. So he thought, well, maybe we need to put together, happy to say he survived. He's a 17-year survivor now. And is a good friend. He's our founder. He still interacts with our organization on a regular basis. But he thought, maybe we need to put something together so that if somebody else has to go through this, they have resources. Well, that kind of spawned the Firefighter Cancer Support Network in 2004 is when it started to happen. And in 2005, it was officially launched. And so from that little 4 or 5 person member group, we now have 350 volunteers across the country. We have more than 150 mentors on top of that, that get involved when we have cancer diagnoses and firefighters. Now we're present in all 50 states. We are present in Canada now. We just had a provincial meeting last week to discuss how that's going to operate. You know, you recall this last January, we did a Firefighter Cancer Awareness Month in conjunction with the IFF. You know, that's huge. But what we didn't realize is how much people didn't know about cancer in the fire service. So in 2013, we published a white paper that really was the game changer in the fire service. And that white paper contained a lot of really good information. It was Grace LeMaster's meta-analysis of cancer and the proclivity of cancer in the fire service. And then it gave 11 initiatives or 11 recommendations to reduce your risk of cancer. And those 11 initiatives from 2013, in some way, shape, or form, have been turned into the industry standard for firefighter cancer prevention and awareness. And so for us, the mission of our organization really is to provide, you know, obviously support to firefighters that get diagnosed with cancer and their immediate families. The second thing is to provide education and awareness to the fire service, both career and volunteer, across the world to make sure that they're aware of and up to date with all the relevant information pertaining to their ability to reduce their risk. Part of that is including health screening exams, very much like what LifeScan offers. The third part is to provide updates on research and any other developments that's helping firefighters understand their risks so they can continue to reduce them. So we've really, really done a lot of great work. We partner a lot with the teaching facilities, a lot of the research entities, Obviously, CDC and NIOSH, we're partners with them in developing the Firefighter Cancer Registry and any other relevant research that relates to firefighters and cancer. For us in particular, if you call us and you need help, the first thing that's going to show up is a toolbox. We have this toolbox. It's literally a plastic box from Office Depot that we put together. It's got file folders. It's got business card holders. It's got pens and pencils in a holder form. It's got paper. It's got a notebook. And more importantly, inside of that toolbox is what we published, our first Firefighter's Guide to Cancer Survival. And what that Firefighter's Guide is about a 200-page bound document. And inside of that, it talks about the different types of cancer that you may have. It talks about, it gives you questions you should be asking your doctor. It gives you resources for the caregivers, for your spouse, for your family, for the firehouse, how they can help you with your journey. It gives you helpful hints on how to deal with that. It gives you information on how to navigate the workers' compensation, how to report the exposures that you've had, how to deal with the aftermath, the long journey of treatments. It helps you sort of chronicle and journal your whole effort to recover and survive from cancer. It's a fantastic document. I'm really proud of it. It comes in every toolbox. Well, my hope is that Firefighter's Guide to Cancer Survival will be in every firehouse someday in the next 5 years. Now it's just a matter of getting the money to do that. But really a valuable tool. The feedback we've gotten from our survivors is that that journal and that document has really helped them keep track of what they're doing, what they've been through, and sort of a nice reminder to them that, hey, I can survive. So if you have a recurrence, look, I survived this once, I can do this. Look, here's the journal that I wrote. Here's the information that I got from my physician. Here's how I got through this. And it really helps them understand the importance of having a good mental toughness as it relates to dealing with this diabolical disease. And just so you know, this is all free. We don't charge a dime. Our organization is volunteer. We have been for 16 years. We have a couple of paid staff just to keep the wheels running and keep the wheels on the bus. But for me, this is a volunteer effort for me, and I love it. And I wouldn't change anything for the world.
Now that is tremendous. I mean, I know in my own organization, just in our last round of LifeScan physicals, we found, and I don't even know, Brian, if I shared this with you, we have about on any given year between budget and vacancies close to 900 firefighters, but we found four in this last round of physicals that two of them had asymptomatic bladder cancers and two prostate cancers. And I know the work that you all helped them with and navigated through that journey as they began the process of treatment. And I hear Keith Tyson all the time talking about his department and in Miami-Dade and the prevalence, not only in the active duty, but in retirees, of cancer. So it's a huge issue. If it's not us, it'll be one of our brother and sisters. So I want to ask you, and this may seem like a silly question, but from a rubber meets the road, how does a department or an individual or even a family member, how do they access all the resources that you have? Is there an initial portal, a point of contact? How do we make these available when needed?
Yeah, right to our website, www.firefightercancersupport.org. We have our portal right there. If you need help, there's a button on the homepage of that website that says need help. You click that button and that'll get you in contact directly. We actually have a 24/7 answering service so that if someone needs help, all they have to do is call that number. And if it's after hours, we get the answering service and they go directly to one of us. That makes sure that someone gets a phone call back within 2 or 3 hours at the most. And then within 24 to 48 hours, that toolbox, once we have a conversation with you and you're comfortable with us helping you out, we'll send that toolbox and it lands on your doorstep 24 to 48 hours generally right after that conversation, just to get you started and get everything you need, all the resources necessary to you to embark on this journey successfully.
That's phenomenal. Not only the resources, but the logistics that you all have developed. And, I really, for those that are at some point, you mentioned, a third of us are going to battle cancer at some point in our lifetime. And we know for firefighters, that number is even higher based on our occupational risk. So that you've got these resources spun up and ready to ship out is just phenomenal. So I commend you. And I know I had the honor, the privilege to work with the whole group you assembled to put that white paper together. Yeah. And what a tremendous resource that was early on too, when we were still as a service struggling with what are the pieces of the puzzle that we need to have in place to combat occupational cancer. So it's been very rewarding to see the growth. And you mentioned, why don't you talk about it a little bit? I know this was, I think, your first year, and I know I had a little bit of discussion with Carly about this, but your partnership with our friends at the IFF for Cancer Awareness Month. And is that something that you envision will continue and that maybe likely even will grow into other endeavors? Why don't you, if you can, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, first of all, just to start off, you know, the IFF has been a partner with us since day one. You know, they recognized us at Tampa 2 up in Toronto back in, 2005, 2006, as the organization that they want to work with as it relates to occupational cancer and firefighters. You know, the IFF's been a great friend of ours for a long time. They have been nothing but supportive. They have always helped us get things accomplished. They have always been a great resource for us. We've helped them develop their cancer awareness program. You know, Pat Morrison and Jim Brinkley and you know, Edzo and now Frank Lima. Frank Lima has been a friend of mine for 25 years and is just a huge advocate for firefighters and their well-being. So, you know, the IFF is, that's been a great partnership for us in every respect of partnership you can imagine. I think what we did this year, and this was always something we wanted to do, is have a Firefighter Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, Local 3631 out of Orange County, California, Jeff Hughes and Barrick Hunter, who was the president at the time, put forth a resolution with the IFF to have us at the FCSN as the exclusive provider of education, research, and information to be provided to the IFF. And from that spawned the Cancer Awareness Month. And it's very similar to what you see the Breast Cancer Month. You have, you know, St. Baldrick's, we do Movember, all that kind of stuff. But this really is a worldwide effort to make firefighters aware and to make the public aware of the dangers that cancer has with firefighters. And I think that this last year was the first time we did it. It was a huge success. I think that moving forward, it's going to incorporate everybody, not just career, but also volunteer, and really have a robust campaign for the 2022 Firefighter Cancer Awareness Month will be in January. I mean, it's just a great awareness. It's something that needs to be on everybody's radar. Look, you and I both know this. Our culture and our behavior in the fire service is killing us. You know, you can go on social media right now and see people not wearing an SCBA in a car fire, you know, ventilating a roof where there's fire underneath them, you know, putting a dumpster fire out without wearing a protective clothing. I don't get it. You know, even in this day and age with what we know, we still see that kind of activity going on. So, you know, we still allow smoking in some firehouses. We don't use the diesel exhaust capture. I mean, I could go on and on about the stuff that you see just on social media. And that's only what's been captured on social media. Imagine what it's like in real life. So we have to really be cognizant of our own culture and our own behavior and really address those issues so that people are aware, like, hey, this behavior that I'm about to engage in may kill me. I think Joe Finn says it best. He's the former fire commissioner from Boston, and he did a video about all the tragic losses they've had in their department. And he talked about the SCBA face piece. You know, nobody wants to wear it during overhaul because it's heavy, because it's encumbering. Well, guess what? Cancer's pretty heavy, and cancer's pretty encumbering as well. But Joe Finn said this. He said, every time you take that mask off, you should be thinking about your family. Every time you take that mask off, you should be thinking about your family. And he's right, because that kind of cavalier, insensitive, irresponsible behavior is what's leading us down this path of destruction as it relates to cancer.
Now, I really like that comment, Brian, that, you know, think about your family. Because as you were talking about this, and you know, I've never been diagnosed with cancer, but I imagine family is one of the first thoughts that come to mind with a diagnosis. And as part of my mission is to get folks, firefighters, law enforcement officers, and anyone that listens to, hey, let's focus on that family ahead of the bad news. Because all of a sudden, family becomes a priority when there's bad news or there's an emergency. But what if we made family a priority from the get-go? And what if we made self-care and, you know, like you're saying, the prevention and preventive, and leads into with Todd, you know, the preventive screenings. If we just take the science that's there and the mental behavior science that's there, it's like, you know, we focus on family, we focus on our health and preventive side and all of that. All of a sudden we become more resilient too as human beings, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's a great point. You know, and this is why, you know, the problem is, and you know this, when something, the latest and hottest topic that comes up in the fire service, you have a lot of opportunists that come in and say, well, you know, we can provide this and this will prevent cancer. You know, I think that there was a dog sniffing person, there was a sauna, all the saunas, you know, everybody was saying that these, you know, $1 million extractors are the key to success. You know, maybe there's some validity to some of that. There's no science behind it. But, you know, for me, that opportunistic, you know, capitalistic, if you will, infusion of folks when cancer became an issue in the fire service kind of made people a little reluctant to go, well, you know, you say you can do this, you know, you say you can do this, and you say this is going to prevent cancer. I don't know if I'm buying it. And some of the stuff was just wazoo. Well, but then you get to LifeScan and things like the preventative scanning, where you have scientific data that backs up like, hey, look, we found this in 4 out of 900 firefighters. That's a big deal. You know, having a non-symptomatic bladder cancer before it becomes symptomatic, that's a lifesaver. And then it begs the question, well, how many lives do you have to save before you're going to buy into it? You know, for me, it's one. You know, if what I've done in my career in any capacity has made a significant enough difference in one person's life, I'm good. I'm good. Because for me, the thing I loved most about being a firefighter is that I knew that every single morning when I got up and I left that firehouse after a shift, that we had done something good for someone else. That's all that mattered to me. And if that someone else was one or two or 500, it didn't matter. You know, if you've got tools that are definitely are being used to prevent someone from dying or having a debilitating disease, why on earth are we not embracing that? Now, with that said, there are some things that people are proclaiming or pontificating that really aren't legit. But you look at some of the things, and especially what we're talking about now, you know, the life scan, the ultrasounds, the Doppler ultrasounds that you're doing on carotids. I mean, those are lifesavers. We know that. I had a physical exam done, and I remember 10 years ago, they were doing those free Doppler carotid exams at one of the conferences. Remember those? And everybody thought, oh, this is a bunch of crap. I'm not buying this. They're not going to be able to figure it out. Well, guess what? You know what the industry standard is now in evaluating carotid artery occlusions is that stupid ultrasound. Huh, interesting. And so you know what? I'm a believer in that. But I'm quick to say that there are some things, and I'll use the saunas as an example. I think the saunas, I think there's some legitimacy to them in some capacity, not in the context of cancer risk and reduction. I know Jeff Burgess out of the University of Arizona has done some studies on those saunas. I haven't seen anything yet that has revealed to me that saunas are a good thing in the context of cancer prevention and treatment for people that have been exposed to carcinogens. So until I see that, I'm not buying it. And yet you saw how many times you see saunas trying to be sold at every trade show known to man. It hasn't, they're kind of gone now, but that's an example of what I'm talking about when I say opportunistic people that come in that are looking to make money off of this. You know, you've got some people that claim to be consultants that have zero credibility. They don't have any, they have no credentials, and they're a consultant on how to reduce your risk of cancer. I'm not sure how that's valid. There's some people across the country that are really doing some fantastic work that are really helping with like station design, equipment that's cleaner, fuel that's being burned cleaner. Those are all good things. And I applaud those efforts. But when you're in it to make money off of it, I question your motives, and I question whether or not you're really legit. Whereas you have other organizations that have science that backs it up, that really have done some good work, like Todd's group, and you're saving lives. That's significant to me.
And those are great points, Brian. And I think, you know, like you said, there's some great minds out there, and you know, that really, it's been nice to watch as we've evolved, because that culture change where we're starting to implement a lot of the things that were in the white paper that Firefighter Cancer Support Network put together, and they're being embraced. And you look at, you mentioned retired Commissioner Finn in the job he did in terms of culture change within the Boston Fire Department to address occupational cancer. I did want to point out, and I don't know if you were aware, we actually did a webinar with Keith Tyson and myself, and that 43-year-old bladder cancer survivor, who's Mike Stone from Broward County. And, you know, you said, we don't want to wait till we have symptoms. And that was kind of the key. His urologist said, I've been practicing for 3 decades. You're the first asymptomatic presentation of a bladder cancer I've seen in my practice. Normally, you know, there's symptoms, there's blood in the urine, there's distension, there's bloating, pain. And I think, you know, that's part of the, we've got this whole package that we're putting together with risk reduction, with lifestyle, with carcinogen exposure reduction. And then that last piece of early detection, because we know the earlier we find cancer, the better the outcome. And for any of our colleagues that are in the bean counting world, we also know that, you know, it's cheaper when we find a disease, you know, in early stages. So, but, you know, you touched on in your career that if you can make a difference in one person, that's a home run. And I just think about really what you've taken that philosophy and you've magnified it, you know, internationally now. So how proud that you're making a difference in far more than one, for sure. You know, we're getting short on time, so I want to be mindful of our time. But I'm sure we've got folks in the audience that are listening to today's podcast that they themselves may actually have battled cancer or be battling it now. How does one of our brother and sister firefighters, whether you're IFF or you're on the volunteer side or you work in a combination department, if they want to become involved with what you've built in your team, how do they access and how would they be able to best utilize their experience to help others?
Sure. Great. And thanks, Todd, for that. And first of all, I want to make one thing really clear, is that it's not me that's done this. It's the group of people that are part of the Cancer Network. You know, as the president, I'm incredibly grateful and proud, but I have little to do with the success of the organization. It's the people that are in it. It's the Tony Cruises, the Keith Tysons, the Curtis Dunns, you know, the Mike Leones, the Steve Westcotts, you know, the Todd LeDucs that have helped us out along the way. You know, that have done tremendous work, the Joe Schumachers, Trey Kelsos, they're the ones that have made the organization great, not me. It really has been a team effort, starting with Mike Dubron all the way through those names I just listed. That's what makes the organization great. And we always look for people that want to become part of the organization. The best way to do that is to either go to our website. There's a list of state directors on there. They have their emails attached with them. Get in contact with one of them. You can call me directly. I'm happy to leave my contact information at the end of the podcast. So if anybody needs anything, and I'll leave my cell phone number, just because if you're out there and you need help and you've been diagnosed, call me directly and I will help you immediately. I will put you in the contact with our wellness coordinator, Debbie Pike, who will get you underway and get everything that you need as far as resources go. We always look for mentors, so I would be happy. I would love to have some more mentors out there and some more folks that want to get involved with a lot of our work that we do across the country.
Brian, why don't you give that website one more time, and I'll put it in the show notes as well, and then your contact info.
Sure. It's www.firefightercancersupport.org.
And if they wanted to contact you?
Yeah, my contact is it's B Frieders, FRIEDERS at FCSN.net. And my cell phone directly is area code 661-904-5075. And when I say I want you to use it, I mean it. Call me. That's what I'm here for. I'm happy to help.
Thanks, Brian. That's great. And I can tell you just from having colleagues that have had to access, you all are just have this down to a science. So you've obviously from where when it started, you've refined and have honed down the ability to be there quickly. So thanks for continuing. And you mentioned your team. You have a fantastic group of brother and sister firefighters that help and it shows. It certainly does. So I know we've spent a little bit of time talking. I know we've got a ton more that we could cover and likely you're guest number four to our new LifeScan Learning Lab podcast that we're doing with Dr. Donnie. And I certainly envision inviting you to come back on so we can continue this conversation. And I want to thank you for your time. I wish you and your family well in your new journey, which is retirement and coming over to the East Coast. And I'm sure we'll be talking soon. So thanks for sharing everything you're doing. And thanks for all you do.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you. Donnie, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.